Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for all the things we have received this week, Lord, and since we last met, Lord, and the blessings you've bestowed upon us, Lord. Father, the blessings of our health and all the other things you give us, Lord, the food in our covers, the bed we sleep in, roof over our heads, and clothes that we wear. All these things, Lord, we know that come from by you, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we give praise to you and glory to you, Lord, for you are worthy of it all. Lord, I ask now, Lord, your will just be with each one of us here this night, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit be upon us and let us have a good time with you in your presence. Lord, I ask, Lord, for a blessing on Dolores, a neighbour across the way, Lord, that you lay a healing touch upon her, Lord. You know she's back in hospital for her, and she's had a rough time most of her life, Father, and you know it. She's read your script, Lord, with passed the tracts and spoke of you, Lord, and she knows the truth, Lord. She went to Sunday school as a real. Please, Lord, convict her now, Lord, and let the Holy Spirit take her and save her, Lord, please, if you will. I ask too, Lord, for a blessing on Israel. Father, you just grant peace in Jerusalem, Father. Please, Lord, that the heart's desire that the people get saved before you come to time as well. Lord, too, if you will, just be with Esther. Lord, that you lay healing touch on her as well. Lord, she's had a rough time with her life, Lord, and what else is going on, Father, you just be with her. Comfort her, strengthen her, and uplift her, Lord, in the times. And Tina as well, and the Lord looks after her. Lord, just be with her. God, we need to comfort our Holy Lord. Yeah, thanks for the Lord for the results of the tests that I've had, Lord, and oh Lord, that the talk the doctor is going to have with me will be beneficial to me. Lord, I'm open praying no more tablets. And please, Lord, it be your will that your will be done there, Father. Lord, for those who have slipped away, Lord, or those who just, whether it be spiritual or physically, Lord, I speak to them, Mans, Carol, John, and Stephen. Lord, especially Stephen. Please, Lord, just sort them out, Father, bring them back, Lord, refresh, renew them, to be, once again, in your word, Father. You know what's going wrong, Lord, sort them out. I pray to you now, Lord, for Brother Mark, as he takes the service, Father, you just be with him and give him the words to speak to us, and for the songs and the tithes and offerings and prayers, Lord, to be acceptable before you. All these things, Lord, and I know there's more to pray for, Lord. And give thanks for Taylor and Crystal too, Lord, coming back safe. And Lord, for Frank in London, and Lord, Dr. Shang as well. And for all those brethren around the world, Father, especially the suffering persecution. Lord, that you would show them the way, you just show them that you're with them always, into the end of the time. It's your promise. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, Lord, for the things that you did for us on the cross. Thanks for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and thanks most of all for your holy word, the King James Bible, your authority on this earth. Praise be to your name, Lord, through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. 119 in the big books. Let's remain seated as we sing until the storm passes by. 119. Dark of the night, have I often my Did I see somebody coming in there?
I think.
Do you want to open that door there and see if there's people waiting? He's here. Come on in. James and Jake. Mr. Jeremiah. I'm spotting a pattern. Jeremiah, James and Jake. All the J's. Mr. Mark. We are going to be just in time to sing another song, number 32 in the wee black books, if you want to take and turn there. This one might not be as familiar to you guys from the posh end of Northern Ireland. So it's Courage Brother, Do Not Stumble. Go ahead.
Totally out of the process.
Courage, brother, do not stumble. Let the road You're good to read. You come right ahead, brother.
The reading tonight is from First Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise no prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, and also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all their brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen. Good reading. So many good verses. The one that some of them we're going to be using in our sermon this evening, but one that really stands out for me is verse number 22, where it says to the Christian to abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen. Thank you for that, gentlemen. Much appreciated. Just going to take a moment or two for any prayer requests. If anybody has any, now would be the time to stick up your hands and let us know, and we'll write whatever details down you give us and we'll pray about them. Has anybody got any? Okie doke. I'm always glad. Yes, Steve.
The horse is back in hospital room. We don't know exactly all of it. Mark told me tonight to have known.
Which is not good.
Not a good time at all. She's just not well at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I want to give thanks for my result. So, the home one's not too good, but the chest one, I'm still not sure yet. It's always satisfactory.
Satisfactory.
But it's not bad news.
All right. Steve, results are satisfactory. That'll do. Well, I got some thanks as well. My dad got his cataract taken out and got a new lens put in his left eye. And he now has about 3 weeks, I think, of drops and antibiotics in his eye until that heals up, and then they'll probably see about sorting the other one out. I think the first two messages on the family WhatsApp were, "Our Jim Ladd," because he's got one eye patched. And the next one was, "All he needs is a parrot, a hook, and a peg leg, and a ship full of wild buccaneers." He'd be Captain Hook, so... Anyway, it was me that sent those, by the way. Anyway, he's doing rightly, never felt a thing. A little bit uncomfortable now, but I think he's looking forward, if you'll excuse the pun, to being able to see better. So I'm glad for that too. Amen. Just hoping and praying he is able to get the treatments ministered. I think it's 4 times a day for the next 2 weeks, and then once a day for the next week or 2 weeks after that. And if he's not game for doing that, then he'll be up here and we'll be doing it. In a nice way, of course, because we like to have my dad visit, and it's not like a punishment when you come to Uncle Mark's. So please do pray about that too. I would ask that you would continue to pray for Norman. He still has the end of his court case started today. It will, Lord willing, end next Friday. So please do pray for Norman. There is a lot going on. And if Norman wants you to have more details, speak to him and he'll give them to you. But other than that, please keep praying for him. Anything else?
The Alford family and the loss of Christopher.
Alford family.
It's not going to happen.
I'm actually looking for a space to write that in.
Sorry.
What happened?
He was found dead.
Oh yes, you were telling me. Sorry, yes. Okay, I can just fit Alford family death in there. Okay. Alrighty, I think that's about that. Is there anything else we need to be thinking on or praying apart? Apart from, that looks like a line up there. You're supposed to choose the guilty one. Pray for these guys too. They're visiting us tonight and the back hall tomorrow. All the way from Bangor. Is it Bangor and Newton Orange or just Bangor?
Yep.
Both. So, and their travels home again too. So, pray for the guys. That's Jeremiah, just J1, J2, J3 and Marky. Jeremiah, Jake and James. So that's the man. You get to see the faces and you'll know whenever they're mentioned. Those cheeky little cherubic faces whenever they're mentioned in prayer, spoken of in church. So please pray for the man as well. Let's pray and then we'll continue on and sing another song. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we just indeed thank you for watching out for us and looking out for us, and Lord, taking care of us, and even through all the stupid things that we've said and done, even as Christians, Lord. I remember being so foolish, thinking that nothing could touch me, and I didn't know that your hand was upon me all that time. Lord, bless us and keep us, and not just us, Lord, but anywhere in the world where people are meeting together and praising and worshiping you. Lord, wherever your children are right now, suffering persecution or hardship, whether it be in some of the really hard countries or even in this country, Lord, I pray you please, Father, that even now that you would continue to let Lord, continue to hold back the God of this world. Please, Lord, convict souls of their need to be saved, and please keep, Lord, just convicting and convicting and convicting them. As regards our prayer requests, Lord, you know them all, especially for the Alford family in the wake of the death of the family member very suddenly. I pray for your good hand upon them, and Lord, that maybe an old message or a Sunday school lesson or a song would just be a comfort to them, and you would take this time to speak to them about their eternities, Lord. Pray you too, Father, for all the names that are mentioned there, and we thank you, Lord, for being there to take these burdens off of our shoulders. Thankfully, Lord, thankful for Steve's results and whatever the blood one is, Lord, that you would help sort it out. Thank you, Lord, too, for my dad's results in the surgery. And I just continue to pray, Lord, about Norman's court case. You know all the players, Lord, and I pray, please, that you would greatly convict those that need to be convicted and hinder those that need to be hindered. Please bless Israel, Lord, for every soul is prepared to stand up and to preach and teach the full counsel of your word. I pray that you would divinely protect and provision them. And Lord, that you would be one of our number this evening, that you would take the time to walk up and down the hall, Lord, and that you would just minister to us through the sermon, a remembered sermon or a hymn or just anything at this time that we've set aside to be in your presence, Lord. Just thank you and love you. Bless the rest of the service. And please, Lord, look out for those that travel. We ask it all, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And thank you again. Amen. All right. Thanking you. Let's take our big hymn books again, if you would, and turn to 351, 351, and we'll stand as we sing, Tell It to Jesus. 351. Let's stand and make a joyful noise.
Jesus, tell it to Jesus.
Seated. Put the one set of books away and take your Bibles out this evening and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me, if you would. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse number 51. I want to speak for a little while this evening on the subject of home. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. If you're on your game this evening, you will have noticed that this is the first reference to the rapture that Norman almost read this evening. That was in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the very, very tail end of the chapter before 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And even some of the verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 we will be referring to this evening. So that sort of brought a bit of a smile to my face. Amen. I'm glad you could be here. I pray that this will be a help to you. And amen. Let's start. 1 Corinthians 15:51. The word of God says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that is die, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." Amen. All right, Christy, would you pray for us and then we will continue.
Offering up prayers to you as well. We ask and pray that you bless the rest of the service, that you be with the preacher, especially now. Thank you for the text that was just read, Lord. We pray and ask that you'd settle the thoughts of his heart and his mind this hour, Lord. Give wisdom, Lord. Feed him, Lord, so that he can feed us, your sheep, tonight. Pray that you guide each of us in your walk, Lord, in our walk with you, Lord. That you would help us be a light to those in this dark world. To save the lost, Lord, be with the sick this evening, comfort the offered family in the moment, family as well. Lord, remember Leonard in my easy manner. Be with Frank in London, Lord, well as he works this week as well. Be with him, Lord, remember Nana and her love to you. Protect Israel, Lord, guide each one of your children, Lord, just strengthen your church in these days, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Christy. I'll read you 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And it says, comfort one another with these words. It's not something to be scared of. It's something to look forward to. And sadly, whenever I think of the rapture, I immediately think of the time that I had to go and get a wisdom tooth sorted out. And I prayed so hard for the rapture to come before I would have to go into hospital and get that worked on. But you know what? I pray the Lord's will be done and not my will be done. Otherwise, there'd be a lot of bother going on right now. We wouldn't all be sitting here either. But amen. Like I said at the start, this is the first mention of the rapture in the New Testament. There were many things that hinted at it, right the way from the Old Testament, but this is the first explicit description of the rapture in the New Testament. A little bit of background. It was written by Paul the Apostle, and it was written to a church that was slipping off the rails a wee bit. They were doing a lot of stuff wrong. And this first letter that Paul wrote was very much a letter of rebuke and repointing or redirecting, putting people back in the right direction. There was a lot of sin addressed and there was a lot of doctrine addressed, but this little bit that we're looking at this evening is to do with not the end times, but the start. The end of the last days and the start of the end times, if that's the way to. Do you know what? Even those terms are used for a lot of different things. What we're talking about tonight is the going home of all the believers of this age of grace in which we live. And yes, it is still an age of grace. And then it heralds the start of the tribulation and the great tribulation. And 7 years later, the return of Christ with 10,000 times 10,000 of his saints. And then the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So, in effect, the end of the world is due in at least 1,007 years. Nothing you or I are going to have to worry about, regardless of what the Mormons say, or the Seventh-day Adventist, or the Jehovah's Witness, or any other wackadoodle that stands up and says the world is going to end by 2050. That's one in your eye, Greta Thunberg. Anyway, and many other of those folks that get easily panicked. Anyway, whenever the Lord started working on me years ago, after I'd been saved for quite a few years, I would have many a conversation with my old boss whenever we were doing, essential maintenance in the IT department. And one of the things, the conversations that really stuck with me was the rapture. And what he said to me was, oh, you don't want to believe that, pretty much. That's a Roman Catholic invention. And I thought, right? And that, strangely enough, tied in with another conversation I had with someone up in Craigan Heights or in Bogside or in the Chantalo, where the rapture came up again, and they said that was a Protestant invention. And the truth is that, obviously, that it's God's invention. And I'm going to tell you who it's for. It's for Protestants, and it's for Catholics. It's for Jehovah's Witness. It's for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's the Mormons or the LDS. It's for the Seventh-day Adventists and the Scientologists. It's for Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, Amish, Baptist, Charismatic, Pagan, Occultist, Witches, out-and-out Satan worshippers, and indeed anybody else that will care to repent of their sins and trust in the Jesus Christ of the King James Bible as their Savior, and Him alone. That's who it's for anybody that's saved, no matter what they're saved out of. You see, the whole rub is there's coming a deadline. And we all know what a deadline means. It normally means a few sleepless nights and a lot of hard work, just to make sure we meet that deadline. Because if you don't meet deadlines, what happens? You're going to fail. You'll not get marks for project work, you'll not get marks for your homework, and that will always count against you in your educational career. If you let that habit continue on into your work life, you'll end up with a bad reputation, and you will never be able to advance. You will never get better. You will never show to people that you are worth trusting and depending on and absorbing a bigger portion of their money, in other words, getting a pay rise. And God said the same thing. There's coming a deadline. A time when maybe the last soul will get saved because of guys like me not pulling their weight and preaching a poor, watered-down gospel, not even warning folks that they need to get saved. Because let me tell you something, friends. I don't know of one single person in the whole world that ever got saved after hearing the gospel once. Not one. They heard Sunday school lessons. They heard mummy and daddy talk. They heard the old hymns. Maybe someone put a gospel track through the door and this new thing popped up. And yes, maybe it resonated, but they needed to find more. Yes, I know I need to get saved. How do I get saved? It took me years. It takes other people maybe not so long, but nobody ever got heard after or saved after hearing it once. They knew a lot of stuff in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit put it together in their hearts. Sad thing is that there's a, like I said, a lot of those guys that are mentioned in 2 Timothy, I think it's 2 Timothy 3 verses 4, 5 or 6, that are standing behind the pulpit are not telling people they need to get saved. And they're not telling saved people they need to live a bit better for God. As we heard in the reading that Norman brought us, abstaining from all appearance of evil. Whenever you're doing a project for work or school, there's normally a day given. Have it in by Thursday or Friday, before the weekend. And everybody knows they have to do a bit of work during the week to get it done. And you do it if you want the marks. God's deadline is not quite like that. But I want to read you a wee verse from Matthew, Matthew 24. It also appears in Mark and Luke, not in John though. It says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all of these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Here are a few of those things. There's none of us here old enough to remember Israel being made a nation. It happened 73, 74 years ago. My dad was here, he would tell you he was 16 when it happened. He remembers it happened. If Mary Ann was here, she'd probably be telling you the same thing. I remember when they announced on the radio that Israel would be made a nation. Prophesied over 2,500 years ago about a nation that didn't even exist up until 73 years ago. They came from all the quarters of the earth, the old, the young, the maimed, the lame, the with child, the little children, moms and dads, every corner of the earth, and immediately threw a flag up and reconstituted their culture completely. And there were so many miracles involved with that, it could only be of God making good on his prophecies in Zechariah 12 and Jeremiah 31. That shows you one part of the deadline. Another part of the deadline, we already mentioned a little bit about 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Peter 3, shows the state of us. But how slack we are as a creature, how we've become very prideful and boastful, and how little natural love and affection there is in this world. That doesn't mean you go around hugging and kissing everybody. Especially not in these days. That's a surefire way to get yourself a slap in the chops. But it means you do good things to people when you get the opportunity. And that has been burned into my head, and it is a shame to me as a young man that when I was walking out of school one day, there was a member of the church who happened to be a teacher in the school, slipped and fell in the ice, and I didn't want to help her up because I didn't want to be seen to be helping the enemy, the teachers. And that has annoyed me ever since, and I will always endeavor to help people when I get the opportunity. That is natural love and affection for your fellow man, for little children, for the elderly. You get the idea. But there's hardly any of that now. People think that the world owes them a living, and it doesn't. The only reason we have what we have is because people gave their lives. And we're not talking about one or two, we're talking about millions. So that we are not goose-stepping to Deutschland, Deutschland, and have a picture of Hitler at the back of the church. People fought and died so that you can have your own opinion and even feel free enough to express it, although even that is changing. We live in the days that the Bible spoke of in Isaiah chapter 5, when things are upside down and back to front. When children rule families, mommies and daddies behave like children. Men want to be women, and women want to be men. And is it any wonder our children really don't have a chance at knowing what's what? But this is all in the Bible. And I know some of these guys at the back, we have a very heavily IT-orientated, qualified church here. And these guys know a little bit about the things that are going on in the world. And if I said to them, there was a time, and not in my time, but a bit before it, where there wasn't a worldwide communications network, they would say, that's crazy, how did you ever live? Well, we made it this far. Arthur C. Clarke, if you don't know who that is, he prophesied a worldwide satellite communications network. But he must have just have been reading the Bible, because the Bible talks about whenever the Lord returns, every eye will see him. Mm-hmm. And that's only going to happen whenever every eye can actually see him, which is with the global communications network. And do we have that today? Of course we do. I wonder how many Zoom meetings took place across the world with one thing and another. There's that. There's our ability to kill every single person in the world, prophesied again in Matthew 24 and Mark and Luke. And the fact that Christians are seen as the troublemakers, all of these things, they're like the hours, minutes and seconds that you're given on your work deadline or your school deadline. These are the things that are written in our technology, in our nature, in our preaching, and all of the other things, even in the very global country state of this world. There is an Israel. And the Lord said, when the generation that sees these things happen will not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And what exactly is it? Well, it speaks of a very special moment. It says the twinkling of an eye, about the tenth of a second or less. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and we're, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. And that's our closing hymn, hymn number 55, I think. We'll see if I remember it at the end of the service. It speaks of a time when the trump of God is going to be blown. That's going to be whenever an army blows a trumpet, everybody knows what to do, don't they? They know to, if it's get out of your beds, if it's charge, if it's retreat. How many times in battles have trumpets been used to communicate the order of the army? Well, God is going to blow his trumpet. And I believe the only people that will hear it will be Christians. And every single one of them, the Bible says, will be caught up into the air. In 1 Thessalonians, it says to meet with the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to, as the Bible says here, we are going to shuck, to get rid of this mortality, and we are going to get rid of this corruption, this sin nature that we have. That even though we do our best to suppress it, to put the choker chain on it like you would with a big dog, we're going to be rid of it for good. And we are going to stand, or maybe fly for a little bit, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our new and glorified bodies, with robes of righteousness. Remember Jesus, when he went up to heaven, he left this world as a beaten and bloodied rag, but whenever he was seen again, he was perfect, except for the marks of the cross in his hands and his feet and in his side. This is what's going to happen, and this is why the title of the message is Home, because we'll all get to go home. I'm sure you've heard of many times Christians saying that this world is not our home, we're just passing through. We are called ambassadors in the scriptures, those that trust in Jesus Christ, because this world is not our home and we're only passing through. We subscribe to a different set of rules, a much higher standard of rules. Now, many people think this isn't going to happen until halfway through what they call the tribulation, this, the last week of Daniel. Daniel's worth a reading and thinking on. Many people think it'll happen at the end of the tribulation, and I'm not an apologist for anything, but I want to tell you what the scriptures say. If it happened halfway through the 21 judgments that God has set out to destroy all the things in this world that the world worships, well then that would mean that you and I would still be here and we would be suffering through the earthquakes, through the meteorites, through the giant hailstones, through the animals going crazy, through the religious purges that are going to happen again. I want for you to know the office of the Inquisition still exists in the Roman Catholic Church. Or if we waited until the very end, we would have to go through all 21 of God's judgments. And every single one of them, in fact, just this is just an FYI, computers are wonderful for searching huge swathes of text. 11 times the wrath of God is mentioned in Revelation chapter 6 through 16. That is referring to 11 of the 21 judgments that God is going to visit in this world. And the Bible says quite plainly at the end of John chapter 3 that the wrath of God only abides on those that don't believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we can't be here for the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, thank you Steve and Norman. Verse 9 says, God has not appointed us to wrath. We won't be here. We'll be in heaven. Don't worry about your super fast computers, your super new phones, your nice clothes, your houses, your lands, your cars. Nobody will have any need for those things anymore. God said, we are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Mm-hmm. We are to be delivered. There's another great little portion of scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and this is worth listening to. It says the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In other words, the devil's already hard at work. Only he who now letteth, this is the Holy Spirit we're talking about, will let until he be taken out of the way. In other words, he's stopping the devil from getting up to the full amount of his mischief. And he's going to keep doing that. He's been doing it ever since, goodness, ever since the world started spinning. But after the Holy Spirit is removed from this world, hold on a wee second. If we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, that means we'll have to go too.
Yeah.
All right. It says, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. There seems to be a lot of big words there, but basically what it's saying, whenever the Holy Spirit is taken off this world and we go up to visit, to meet with and to live with Jesus Christ in the air and then on to heaven, then the devil will be let loose in the world. And it'll be so bad, it'll be so deadly, that in 7 years, the Bible says if Jesus didn't come back, there would be no flesh saved. How's that for a thought? In 7 years, if Jesus didn't come back, 7 years of mankind being left to himself, being allowed to do absolutely anything with nobody to say anything, like, hey, that's wrong or that's illegal or here's a bullet for your trouble, nobody to do that, sin will run rampant. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me, and I can already see the rumblings of this in our current legislations, if whatever you thought was the most important thing in the world and upheld by law. Does anyone think that could happen? I'm telling you right now, it's happening right now. Hate speech is not defined in the law. It's just if someone feels offended by something that you said. In other words, what they feel is the law, and you'll pay for it.
That's
the toe in the door, and don't be surprised when the devil comes in like a flood. So we're going home. What about everybody else? You always remember Revelation 6 through 16, which talks of the 21 judgments. And it's an awful time on earth. There's no Holy Spirit speaking to anybody. There's 144,000 Paul the Apostles preaching the gospel. But those that want to be saved have to stick it out to the end. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Half the population of the earth will die. Have a look through it. There's a third that go to their deaths because of the poisoned waters. And I think there's a quarter dies for something else. But it's in Revelation 6 through 16. Half the population of the world dies. Simply because, not because they lived at the coast or lived in a mountain or lived in a bunker, but because they rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. God said there's a deadline. And if you don't meet the deadline, then you suffer the penalty. And those 21 times, it's almost like, and I know they don't do it anymore, but back in my day, people still got caned for misbehaving in school. I got a ruler in the hand, and I think I got the cane in the hand. And I got it once, and I thought that was bad. I can't imagine 21 strokes like that. That would certainly give you a very red hand, and it would teach you a very hard lesson. But because these many souls refuse to listen to Jesus Christ, I'm sure there'll be about 4 billion of them go into a Christless eternity. And that means hell and then the lake of fire. But I don't take joy in this. This is what the Bible says. And this is what we need to know. And if you have any natural love or affection, or even that love that the Holy Spirit should be shedding abroad in your heart, you will not think it a trouble to share what you have with other souls so that they too don't have to be in this world. So they don't have a 50-50 chance of making it through the 7 years of tribulation and great tribulation. We should want to see people saved. The same Spirit that constrained the Lord Jesus Christ to rise from his throne in heaven and to come down here and live with us for 33 years should enable you to go out of your way to tell someone that God loves them and that Jesus died for them on the cross and that they really do need to get saved, and if they repent of their sins and trust in Jesus as their Savior, they will be saved. We take joy in knowing that we are saved from that moment that we admitted all of those things, and that we have the greatest opportunity ever given to mortal men, and that is to join with Jesus Christ in seeking and saving the lost. We get to see the saved of all the ages in heaven whenever we get there. We'll take joy in our glorified bodies that'll never get old or cold and never have a tear or a fear anymore. Finally, the absence of our sin nature, saved from the very presence of that at long last. Most importantly, seeing Jesus. And if you remember how it affected Mary Magdalene whenever she saw him on Resurrection Sunday morning, she didn't recognize him as first, remember? And then whenever he called her name, Mary, I can just see her running towards him and maybe even to fall at his feet and to weep on his feet like she did whenever he was feasting with some of the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, "Don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father." It'll be great. We'll all want to throw our arms around him or even just fall at his feet. There'll be mansions in heaven, company of angels, of God Almighty, God the Son, and all of those people that we knew that trusted Christ and went on before us. They also will be home forever at last. And whenever I speak about home, I don't know what comes to your mind. You young folks might think of a mom and a dad and the smell of stuffed bacon in the oven or a pot of tea or coffee or just the smell of the house. Is it a detergent or a cleanser or the view out of your window or having all your books or whatever on a bookshelf or your models or whatever it is. The things that just make you feel safe, protected, comforted, looked after. Just having someone downstairs that you know will bear all the burdens for you. Whether it's a dad or a husband, whether it's a wife or a mother. I don't know what makes home for you. I know a lot of you are not old enough, but way back in 1983, there was a singer called Paul Young, and I did listen to some of his stuff. But he had a song that was called "Wherever I Lay My Hat, That's My Home." Some people just need to know what God's will would have for them to be at, you know, to be at home in this world. Others, it's the love of their lives that just makes it home, or close to an activity that they love, or a way of life that they want to pursue that makes it home. But wherever it is that makes it home for you, Christian, heaven is going to be your home for the endless ages of eternity. Mm-hmm. And all those things that make us feel safe and home, I am going to guarantee you right now that they will be realized to their greatest extent for us by our Father in heaven. Whenever I'm trying to think of the good things that God has for us, I always remember the wee verse that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he's told us a little bit about them. All those things make for home for eternity. Amen. I'm going to stop there and thank you for your good time. God bless you. I think we have one more pictum. We'll sing that. I don't mind. What was it? I must tell Jesus. That works for me. 356. Yeah, it was 55 or 356. We'll take it.
Yeah, we don't know. We must. Yeah.
Sure?
Yes.
3-5-1
then. Tell to Jesus that we sang.
Yeah, we sang 3 yes. That one Sunday night.
But we got a request for 3-5-6.
That was like.
Yeah, we're not going to leave you out, Lane.
Sing them all.
That's it. We'll sing them
all.
3-5-6 to start with at the very least. Let's stand as we sing.
I thought it would be left in the left.
In my distress.
We'll leave 55 for another day. All right, Mr. Mark, if you wouldn't mind praying for us and dismissing the meeting, go ahead.
Dear Lord, I thank this day, Lord, and I thank you for everyone who's here today, Lord, and for the trial for everybody as well, Lord. And I thank you for the service, Lord, and that you'd bless your dear hearts, Lord, and mine as well. And I pray that you'd help everyone after the fellowship, Lord, as well, and that you give everyone Journey Mercy's home as well, and for all the prayer requests earlier as well, Lord. And I thank you for everything you've done for us and for all your blessings. And I pray that you continue to watch over us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.
Will